The following sermon was delivered by Associate Pastor Reverend Natalie Owens Pike in the sanctuary of Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. We welcome you to worship with us every Sunday in person or on live stream. For details, go to fapc.org. And now, here's Reverend Natalie Owens Pike.
Friends, this summer as a congregation, we have been looking to our ancestors in the faith who have found restoration, found healing, found miracles in waters stirred up by God. In this season of geopolitical heat, in the face of drought and heat wave, of famine, war, and flood, we are turning to Scripture to serve as water in the desert for us. And we are acutely aware of the life-altering power of water these days. And in the good hands of my colleagues this summer, we have prayed for rain, we have become fishers of people, we have pondered water turned to wine. And today, we seek out the miracle of Jesus' healing presence. We hope to stir the waters of healing, seeking the source of our creation in our own times of fear and uncertainty. Scripture speaks so many words of need, words of plenty and of waste, to describe how water flows and rises. Water we can taste and touch and name, but struggle to contain, struggle to hold in place or conform to our hands. And friends, doesn't that teach us a little something about our God? That God holds more for us than we can describe, that God's ways are mighty and beyond what we can touch or see. So let us listen now in the Gospel of John for what sort of healing we might stir up in the waters in our midst. Hear these words, John chapter 5, beginning with the first verse. After this, there was a Jewish festival, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there is a pool called in Hebrew Bethzatha, which has five porticos. In these lay many ill, blind, lame, and paralyzed people. One man who was there had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The ill man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am making my way, someone steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was a Sabbath, so the religious authorities said to the man who had been cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your mat." But he answered them, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take it up and walk'?" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had disappeared in the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse happens to you." The man went away and told the religious authorities that it was Jesus who had made him well. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We begin today early in Jesus' ministry, early in the miracles Jesus performs, and in this story we see Jesus maybe testing the waters, as we might say, at a pool already known by name for its miraculous ways of healing. Later, scribes attribute its healing properties to an angel of God who hovers over the waters of the pool, stirring them up to activate healing in this special place. But there was only healing enough for one person at a time. Each time the waters were stirred, so there is a line. Our friend in this story who lies on his mat has been waiting to be healed, we learn, for 38 years. Can you imagine the patience? Can you imagine the prolonged hope day after day, 365 times 38? When I imagine the patience it takes to always be the next in line for 38 years, I imagine the toll of watching each person who walks themselves into the water. The little bit of hope each time opened within this man, maybe this time someone will take me with them. Maybe this time someone will extend their hand to me. Maybe this day will be my day. Day after day after day, watching the waters stir and still again. I imagine it's easy to get cynical in this position, to get a little too comfortable in the role of overlooked, year after year stuck on this mat. And friends, I have to be honest, my inner cynic sits by my side as I read this story. All week, looking ahead to preaching this text, I've been telling my colleagues how I struggle with the healing miracles of Jesus. How is it so easy for Jesus to end 38 years of pain in just a few verses with the phrase, "at once"? But in this time, where we endure the cruel end of essential health care for millions in this nation, when we witness the blockade of life-saving food and medicine from our neighbors across the globe, when we feel the places in our own bodies and in our own families and in our world where we long to see a miracle, I'm aware of just how many miracles I need to believe will come to pass. So I invite you today to join me in suspending the rationalism of our reforming forefathers in faith, to set aside that questioning skeptic that I too carry, the one who wants to know what is implied by the metaphor of this healing. Instead, will you rest with me a while in what it feels like to need a miracle? Of what it feels like to need to believe that a healing story like this could come true, not just metaphorically, but literally, that the healing we need might come into our lives and our world like the stirring of ancient waters, a little unruly, certainly unexplainable, but worthy of how long the wait. And so, as people who believe, at least for the purposes of my invitation and these next few minutes together, in miracles, what exactly is the miracle we witness here? For Jesus does not lay hands on this man to cure blindness or leprosy. Jesus does not cast out any demons or stop a woman from bleeding. He simply asks the man a question. Do you want to be made well? What a question. And Jesus, remember that for the purposes of this sermon, we agreed we would try to believe in miracles. And here we are offering our open hearts that the possibility of healing might be present through you. And you ask, do we even want to be healed? The theologian Raymond Brown suggests that what ails this man is not paralysis, but instead atrophied muscles. Functional decline in the muscles that would carry him all the way into the waters that heal, just a short distance away. Muscles that have weakened more and more the longer he waited to be brought into the pool. Maybe you have experienced this kind of catch-22 of healing. When the cure is also painful, when the medicine is also hard to endure, when there is suffering on the way to getting well. And like the man who is ill, we might also rattle off a litany of reasons why we cannot, have not been made well, despite our longing otherwise. But there is a second atrophy happening in this story. Not just the atrophy of muscle, but the atrophy of community. The isolation of witnessing others enter the pool day after day and leave it transformed. It's important to know that in the Gospel of John, healing does not just mean removing disability or chronic illness, not just restoring health to the individual body, but returning to wholeness in community. Jesus heals by what theologian William Herzog calls the shalom of restoration to community. An acknowledgement of pain, a witness to what has been long glanced over. And we see in today's scripture that the man is able to return to the temple after long absence. So when Jesus asks, "Do you want to be made well?" we can also imagine that Jesus is working to restore to this man his own power in his healing, just as the power of prayer can coexist alongside vital medical science. But this man has been there for 38 years, and he cannot answer Jesus' question. He points to the limitations of the pool, the ways he has been cut in line, that no one is there with him to put him into the waters. Maybe you too have felt how much easier it is to say what hurts than how to fix it. Easier to name the barriers than how to move them out of the way. Maybe you've said to yourself in response to the news in relation to conflict or political intractability, "It's gone on so long. It's futile. There's nothing we can do." Friends, we are carrying so much these days, witnessing an era of floods, of famine, of war. We who follow a wounded Christ, we who follow the God who acts on behalf of the oppressed and the poor, might wonder, where is God in this? And sometimes God shows up, and instead of stirring the waters for us, God says, "Do you want to be made well?" God reminds us here, we are not helpless. Even so many years into the fight or into the pain, we all have a role, and God shows up to remind us of our role in the miracle in our midst. Jesus shows up, coming alongside healing already possible, here reminding us of the miracle that when suffering is present in our lives, so is God. I've had a few conversations lately with folks in this congregation who are carrying chronic pain or waiting on healing in body and in spirit. So I share now, with permission, a perspective that has been stirring the waters for a fellow church member in a time of daily pain for her. She's had nerve pain in her back for months. It's unpredictable, and you don't know how bad the pain will be from day to day or when it'll show up. And she's doing everything the doctors are telling her. She's getting physical therapy, really good care. But she shared with me also a devotion of prayer that helps her in this long wait to being well. She described a stained glass window that she loves in the Church of St. Thomas More on Manhattan's Upper East Side. This window depicts Jesus seated on a bench, holding in his lap a smiling infant who gazes up at Jesus in his embrace. Another child sits on the ground at Christ's feet. Perhaps it is a rendering of the verse in Matthew that says, "Let the little children come to me, for this too is the kingdom of God." And this member of our church family used to walk to the St. Thomas More Chapel during the day to visit this window when she needed a glimpse of hope or steadying presence. And she told me recently that she framed a photo of it so that she can look at it and visit it at home, which is far from Manhattan now. She takes the time to gaze on it daily, imagining herself before this window, praying to herself, I am a child of God. And Jesus holds me in his lap like a beloved child. I am a child of God, and Jesus holds me in his lap like a beloved child. This, too, is how Jesus is present to heal us, not just questioning, not just pointing us towards our own agency, but also holding us lovingly. Child of God in God's lap, knowing we are not alone until healing comes. Hope is not just in the needed medicine and the physical therapy and the good doctors, but also the eternal promise that you are enough just as you are, that the suffering you have endured does not define you, that God sees you as God's beloved child and whispers to you, you are so loved. This is the healing, miraculous mystery that accompanies us, that shows up in the humans that walk with us hand in hand when we're unsteady or go along with us to a hard doctor's appointment, that point to good news in the world and show us how we can act in small ways, that we are not hopeless, that we still have the power to pick up our mat. This is God's presence with us, teaching us how to accompany each other. So how do we follow this teaching, questioning, loving Christ? I've been on plenty a crowded subway car where elderly folks or people with canes or walkers are ignored by seated riders with no visible need for a seat. Have you seen this happen? But this week, I was on a subway car when an elderly woman got on with her walker, and the first woman she passed offered up her seat. No hesitation, cueing to the rest of us the reminder, oh yes, we are sharing in community in this contract on a subway. But this woman had her eye on a specific bench halfway down the car with more room, and so she made her way slowly there while the train was moving, stopping at each of the poles to steady herself, and each subsequent person she passed, without fail, looked up from their phone and tried to give her their seat. You could feel the whole subway car tending to her, eyeing her progress, offering a hand, trying to get up from those closer seats, which she turned down until she reached the seat she wanted and accepted an outstretched hand from a young man who helped her to sit down with ease. And then all of us relaxed, went back to our books or our papers or our phones and settled into that collective non-attention we reserve for public space here in New York City. But what was different that time? That first woman who noticed, who right away tried to give up her seat, she put us all on alert. This too could be healing, looking out for each other, not putting her in the seat for her, but offering her the help on the way, seeing how people show up in body and in spirit, asking good and open questions and reminding each other, I believe you can, and I'm here with you when you believe you can't. Turn with me to the image on the cover of your bulletin, which is a rendering of this healing pool in today's scripture. It was created by an Aboriginal Australian artist, Trevor Nichols, who drew a whole series of the Bethesda Pool after suffering many severe injuries in a car accident. I imagine his meticulous creation of each dot of this colored pencil and graphite illustration meditating on the nature of a pool in an oasis coming from a continent that understands well the meaning of water in the desert. In his own desert time, Nichols produced a number of works which he described as a form of catharsis, a meditation on the vulnerability of the body. One dot at a time to create this image, with a circular focus around the pool, drawing us in, refreshing our eyes from the russet surroundings. Not giving way to hopelessness, but creating still. Creating even before the miracle. Creating as a reminder to self and to others what's possible when we share what we're carrying in our spirits. So let us draw for each other these meticulous pictures, showing where we sit when we can't get up, naming what ails us, and asking good and faithful questions about how to love each other through it. Amen. Friends, take with you this blessing. May you go forth from this place in the love of God who created you, who meets you just where you are today, listening deeply and calling you so loved. Amen.
We hope this sermon has been meaningful to you and given you a measure of hope, encouragement, and good news. If you would like to make a donation to support this audio ministry, please visit fapc.org/give. Thank you and blessings to you on this day.